raising the bar through all things faith. I have not accomplished all things faith. But by raising the bar, as you see in high jumping, they raise the bar and they jump a little higher. They go a little higher. And what God's calling on all of us to do, He's calling on me as a pastor. He's calling on all of us as a staff, as a church. It's time to raise the bar. It's time to stretch. It's time not just to, well, here we go again. Just go through the same motions. But there's some scriptures that are very definitely in God's Word that I want to stir in your heart today. Now, anyone who has ever been a success, whether it's in the secular world, the business world, or for God, you didn't get there by just playing games. You gave it all you had. And there were times when you stretched out really beyond your faith. And you have to know when and how to do that. It's not stepping out in your own strength. It's just saying, okay, God, you said it. I'm going to give you an opportunity to show yourself real. I believe this is true in a lot of situations in this church. You say, who is this all things possible through faith? Who is this for? It's for children. Little Muslim children are being taught that they need to do something about all the evil people in the world. And then it happens and everyone says, we just don't understand. It doesn't take a rocket scientist to figure out what you've been taught from your youth up. And you act it out. That all they're doing is acting out what they've been taught. That's all they're doing. They're taught this in their schools. And we might as well wake up to that in our government and in the United Kingdom. We just don't understand what happens with these folks. Well, it's their teaching. It's their religion. Now, on the flip side of the coin, we should be teaching and training our boys and girls not just to be average, not just to come to church, not to measure yourself by someone else, but to measure yourself by the Word of God. From the time that I gave my heart to Jesus, it's been pedal to the metal as far as my heart and my life and my walk with God. It hasn't always been that way, but I mean, that's been the attitude of my faith and of my heart. I want all God has. I want to see everything that God's promised us to see. I want to achieve everything that God has promised to achieve. And 1 Corinthians 3:21 said that all things are yours. All things are yours. Now don't let that just go over your head and say that's just too preposterous. That's too much of a generality. All things are yours. Now let's go back to Abraham's life in Genesis, the 13th chapter. And the Bible tells us in Genesis 13, verse 14, and the Lord said unto Abram, that's Genesis chapter 13, verse 14, and the Lord said unto Abram after that Lot was separated from him, lift up now thine eyes and look from the place where thou art northward and southward and eastward and westward, for all the land which thou seest to thee will I give it, and to thy seed forever. For all the land which thou seest to thee will I give it, and to thy seed forever. And I will make thy seed as the dust of the earth, so that if a man can number the dust of the earth, then shall thy seed also be numbered. Arise, walk through the land, in the length of it, in the breadth of it, and I will give it unto thee. And then Abram removed his tent and came and dwelt in the plain of Mamre, which is in Hebron, and built there an altar unto the Lord. Every time in the Old Testament when God manifested himself, or before God manifested himself, and they desired to see God manifest himself, there was an altar and an offering. It just went with the territory. You never come to God empty-handed. There's a time we all have not had what we wanted to have and maybe not had anything, but we gave the best that we could give. So God came. And the interesting thing about this is, and I'll go New Testament in just a moment, I'm not just staying in Old Testament, but the interesting thing about this, when strife walked out, God walked in. When greed walked out, God walked in. When the opportunist walked out, probably it was about an 80-20 deal. It could have been a 90-10 deal. Lot took the well-watered plains, and if you don't have well-watered plains, you're in trouble with cattle. Lot took the well-watered plains and walked out and said, I can't believe the old man gave me such a deal. Could have well been a 90-10 deal. Lot got 90% of what was really valuable. But when the opportunist walked out, the Almighty walked in. I want to say that one more time. When greed walked out, God walked in. When strife walked out, God walked in. When the opportunist walked out, the Almighty walked in. I just said something very, very important. I believe Lot was a sincere man, but he was an opportunist. It's all for Lot. And he would take everything that he could get his hands on. He could have settled that thing with the strife that were among the herdsmen. I mean, Abraham said, we be brethren. This thing could be settled, but it wasn't settled and it wasn't dealt with. And the only thing to do is get rid of strife. We've seen that in the church. We've seen that in our Christian school. When strife goes out, then God comes in. And that's been true over all of these years. There are given times when strife goes out and your trust and your faith is in God. God comes in. And God came to Abram again. I just read it. After Lot was separated, and it looks like it's all over, and God said, it's just begun. When it looks like it's all over, if your faith is in God, it's just begun. And God said, all right, now we can do business. Lift up your eyes to the north, the south, the east, and the west, and all that you see, I will give it to you. And I want to say something that is so much in my heart today. It was not just what God promised to give to Abraham, but he said to thy seed forever. Fathers and mothers, this is not just about us paying the bills. It's not just about us living better, driving better, or achieving more in life. It's about our seed. Our success is about our seed. The Bible said, by faith we are the children of Abraham. Abraham is the father of faith. And I want to just really drive this in. Sometimes all we think about is my needs met. Help me, Lord. Help me. Let me tell you something. My faith is stronger than just for Pastor Bob Nichols. My faith is for my children. And my faith is for my grandchildren. And my faith is for their children. That's why I want them in the Word. That's why I want them in church. That's why I want them dedicated to the Lord. Because if you can get it without God, it'll turn to a curse. But if you get it God's way, it'll be a blessing. Abram, the land that you see, I will give it to thy seed forever. And there's not a reason on the face of God's earth why tiny Israel hasn't been blown off the face of the map. But some way, somehow, God has taken care of tiny Israel. And God said, I will make thy seed as the dust of the earth, so that if a man can number the dust of the earth, think about this, then shall thy seed also be numbered. I'm going to tell you, God's blessing for you is not a small thing. It's a big thing. It's as big as your faith will allow. It's as big as your faith will allow. It's not just a word game. It's not just a one-upmanship. If no one else is believing God, you can believe God. So as we look at these verses, Bible said all things are yours. Now let's go over to 2 Peter chapter 1. And I'm a stickler for the Word. If I can't find it in the Word, why, I'm not excited about it. But in 2 Peter, you know, the truth of it is, believers, all of us are living below our privileges. All of us are living And that's not a put down. That's just the way it is. But it's changing. In 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 2, grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. According as His divine power. This is not a denomination. This is not some personality in the body of Christ. His divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness, through the knowledge of Him that hath called us to glory and virtue. God has already given us through Christ, already made the provision of everything that pertains to life and everything that pertains to godliness. You see, there's a two-sided coin there. Whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises. And all of this, going back to verse 3, according as His divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness, through the knowledge of Him that hath called us to glory and virtue. That is our mission as a church, to get people born again and to give you and increase your knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ, of the Word and of Jesus, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these you might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. It's all good going through verse 10. It's just awesome. Because in the remaining verses, you'll find the Word of God said in verse 8, for if these things be in you and abound, they make you. They make you. That you shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. I'm going to tell you, anybody that can quit easy just didn't have it to begin with. Whether they're ministry, lay it, whoever. Anybody that can just take the first exit like nothing ever happened. I would have to agree that maybe nothing did happen. Maybe they just had an emotional exposure. Or someone encouraged them in a certain way. Let me tell you something. There's a place when you get this word in your spirit, in your mind, and in your very being, that hell cannot shake you off of the path and off of the promise and off of the will of Almighty God. Until that happens, many things often will get you off track. Sometimes through the years, I don't know of anything currently, but I see ministers that just disappeared. Well, if you'd ever had dealings with them, you understood that. Because you never know who someone is until you deal with them. You never know who someone is until you have some dealings with them. And it takes more than just carrying a big Bible around and a lot of hot air and a measure of success. Time proves. Fruit proves. What really is in someone's life. And as I looked at this verse, the Bible said that if these things be in you and abound, they make you that ye shall neither be barren nor unfruitful. I'm going to tell you, I had enough of the devil before I gave my life to Jesus. I'd had it. Now, I don't think some people have come to that point yet because they want to fight and switch both. I want to tell you, when I gave my life to Jesus and surrendered my life to Jesus, I did not know what the future was going to be, but I knew one thing. I'd had it with the devil in my life. I was sick and tired of putting my head on my pillow saying, wait a little longer, please, Jesus. I was sick and tired of having to look over your shoulder and try to wonder what had happened and where all the things that had happened. When I gave my life to the Lord, and I didn't know that much about it, but it wasn't very long until Romans chapter 8 was revealed to me, and thank God, thank God, thank God, I've never been the same since then. I'm going to tell you, when this thing is in you, it keeps you. It's a wind at your back. In fact, the Bible said in verse 10, if you do these things, you shall never fall. Strong. The Bible said if you do these things, you shall never fall. Well, I just don't know what's going to happen when you just don't know the word. God's word will keep you. God's word will keep you from falling. There is nothing in this world. There is nothing in Hollywood. There is nothing in any phase of this society that is of great interest to me. My interest is the things of God. My interest is to see God's best in me, my family, my seed, and in the church that I pastor and wherever we go to minister the word of God. Folks, we need this all things possible faith now. We need all things possible in revival. Well, we had one a few years ago. No. Through all faith, your spirit can stay stirred. We need all things love. We need all things joy. You need it in your marriage. You need it in your children. You need it in your grandchildren, your finances, your present, your future. If you're a boy or a girl, you need it. If you're a teenager, you need it. You need to know that you can live above the sewer that is going on in this world today. If you're a college student, you need to know all things are possible through faith. You're going through. Every day is a learning experience, financially, scholastically, in people that you meet and in things that happen. Folks, we need faith every day of our life. In every experience of life, we need this all things possible faith now. We need it. Thank God we need it. And thank God, God has provided it for us. I'll tell you what, it's a thrilling experience to see something that happened 24 years ago still bearing fruit, much fruit, more fruit. This was the life that Paul lived. In Galatians 2, Paul said, "For I'm crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, and yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life that I now live, the life that I now live," what kind of life are you living? "I live by the faith of the Son of God." All things. If anyone had come close to mastering this truth, if he had not already mastered it, it was the Apostle Paul. He said, "You judge your life by things." He said, "I have more than things. I have everything." Paul did not measure his life by his assets. Paul measured his life by his personal proven faith in God. And therefore he could write to Timothy and say, "Timothy, you follow my example. Timothy, I know what I'm talking about. I'm not just preaching to you. I'm not just speaking down to you. I'm not just ragging on you, to make you feel bad. But Timothy, I'm writing to you because I have been there. I know God. And son, if you'll just trust God, God will bring you through." What did he say in Acts 27? He said, "I've heard from God. I believe God, and it shall be." I've heard from God. I believe God, and it shall be. All things possible now faith. It's for children. It's for young people. It's for singles, adults. It's for seniors. It's for all phases of life. The past, the good part of our past, was the grace of God. 'Twas grace that taught my heart to fear. 'Twas grace my fears relieved. Hallelujah. The good part of our past was faith and grace. God's been so good to me. Joe and I say it quite often. God is a faithful God. God has been good to me. Yes, there's some things that I wished had not happened, but let me tell you, through it all, I've learned to trust in Jesus. I've learned to trust in God. The good part of our past was the grace of God that brought us through. The present, All things faith affects every level of life. There's all kind of books, all kind of manuals. If you'd let it be a little bit discouraging, because there's all kind of formulas to build a church. But that's what you get, a formula instead of force. I still believe if you plant the right kind of seed, you'll reap the right kind of harvest. God's calling on all of us to raise the bar. He may be calling on you to show up more than once or twice a month. It affects everything we do. I mean, this is not just a preacher thing. This is a businessman thing. All things possible. That affects you in your business life. That affects you in your investments. That affects you in developing your gifts and your giftings and your talents. All the things that we see today in our society, a lot of it was just someone had an idea and they followed through with that idea, and today they're a multi-millionaire or a billionaire because of their idea. The life that I now live, believing, embracing, seeking God's all things faith for me and for mine. Seeking God's blessing, seeking God's favor. The best is really yet to come, but it's not going to happen because that is God's will for you. You say, but you don't understand, I'm older than I used to be. Tell Caleb that. 80 plus, Caleb said, give me this mountain. Give me this mountain. You're either believing, thinking, seeing as Abraham saw, and speaking the faith of God over you and your family, or you're believing and thinking and setting yourself up for luck and life's worst. It's either luck or blessing. It's either speak the word and keep your faith. Well, it hasn't happened yet. Well, who said your little calendar is perfectly in sync with God's calendar? I've gotten bits and pieces. I really didn't pay much attention to it, but I want to give a little more study to it. I want to give a lot of study to it. You know, there's things we can learn about this Tour de France thing. You know, I thought it was just some guy that just was wild and fast and, you know, just had it all together, and he just outran the pack and won it. It's a team deal. He's surrounded by a team. And one or more of that team has a bike just exactly like he has. Every component is exactly like Lance Armstrong's component. And if one little something goes wrong, one will drop out and give him his bike. Because the team is committed to seeing victory. There's days you just stay with the pack. There's days in serving God lightning doesn't flash. There's days in serving God, not really, but it could kind of seem a little bit boring. It seems. But you see, there's a strategy to knowing when to move. There's a strategy in knowing when to just stick with the pack. And it's not wise to win every day, because you don't want to win that jersey every day. You want to let somebody else have a chance at it. You're after the big jersey, not the little jersey. You're after the big one. You're after the big one. And there's days serving God, you get through and you think, man, what did I get accomplished today? You spend 32 hours in airports and airplanes, and you know, your body feels like jet fuel. And you think, dear God, is this the way the Apostle Paul? No, it wasn't. Then I read books on revival. They'd take a ship. It took them 3 months to do what we do in 10 days. That's why God has to give us extra strength and ability. Smith Wigglesworth took 2 or 3 months to do things that we do in 30 days or 2 weeks because of the means of transportation. But you see, they surround him. So Lance doesn't have to work so hard. They're working for him. Bless God, if I can. No, yeah. And then when it's time, all it takes is that victor's nod. Lance and his buddy stand up high and pull out. And they start climbing those mountains that the pack can't climb. Some of you, it looks like you're not accomplishing much. It looks like maybe things aren't really happening. Seems like things aren't really going your way or direction. There's days that look like we're just moving with the pack. But thank God you're never just moving with the pack when your faith is in God. The just shall live by faith. I tell you, in traveling, it really makes my heart ache to see how so many young people, if they don't look the same, if they don't act the same, if they don't talk the same, if they, this cool thing is just getting so stupid. It really, it's just obnoxious. What they're doing, they're all being like somebody else so they can try to be somebody. Afraid to be them. They think they're being themselves. No, they're just copying everything else. So you pay four prices for something that looks like somebody else. What am I saying today? It all goes into it. No matter who you are here today, if you're sincere at all, if you're born again for sure, God has more for you than you've had in the past. No matter what your medals, no matter what your pins. Airport in Sydney the other day, that old hat looked like it'd been stomped on the outback. And this guy, man, I mean, he really put up a front. I mean, honestly. Man, that hat it looked like it'd been chewed up by every kangaroo in Australia. He had more pins, more medals. I don't know what they were. It was all over his hat. And I mean, I finally caught his eye. I just have a little humor about me, and I smiled at him real big, and he smiled and two teeth were missing right here. I don't know where that happened, but it happened somewhere along the way. The tough guy could smile. What am I saying today though? No matter who you are and what you've accomplished, there is more. And Paul said, you've pressed me into boasting. So let me tell you a few things. I'm not going to go that route this morning. But I've sat down and I've been asking God some serious questions. What have we really done? What have we really achieved? What's this 41-year journey been all about? But oh, whatever it has been, I'm telling you, there is more. There is more. There is more not only for me. There is more for you. There's more for us. That group that surrounds Lance on that tour, they're eating up with our group winning the victory. They're eating up with whatever I have to do to sacrifice. We're going to win this thing. We're going to come through. And we're willing to hold steady with the pack. Just wait till we come to the hills. Wait till we get to the mountains. Wait till we get to the tough places in life where, you know, the average easy-go believer just is totally out of shape. Wait till he gets to the tough times. And we're going to climb that mountain. We're going to do the things God called us to do. Well, your future. Revelation 21:7 said, he that overcometh shall inherit all things. So you were born in negative circumstances. So you've suffered loss. So you face impossible, discouraging situations. So someone betrayed you. Someone lied about you. Someone didn't tell the truth. Maybe your third grade teacher said, you'll never amount to anything. I experienced that. She said, Robert, you'll never amount to anything. On that day, she was probably right. I won't be too hard on her. So somebody deceived you, so financially you're not where you want to be. But the best is yet to come. All things are yours. Who forgiveth all thine iniquities, who healeth all thy diseases. God has given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness. I use the illustration because it made a profound impression on me. I was associate minister and walked into a certain department store, of course, it's been long gone, bulldozed and part of everything that left downtown at one point. Came in whistling on a Monday. He said, an old sour voice, what are you so happy about, young man? Well, I knew him and he knew me. I said, oh, man, I got to preach last night. And I'm telling you, it's wonderful. I saw God touch people's lives. And I said, isn't it wonderful? He said, when you've been around as long as I've been around, and you've seen what I've seen, said, you won't be optimistic like that. Boy, I'll never forget that. Every time I walked in that department store, I'd come in the other door. I didn't want to see his face. His face looked like a very discouraged mule. Or maybe a camel that had had a bad day. The sad thing is, there was nowhere for him to go. There was nowhere for him to minister. He had a start, but no one wanted to hear what he had to say. I can understand why. That one encounter, walking in the door, gave me an insight as to what was desperately lacking in that man's life. Well, he was a lot sharper in the word than I was. He was more of a student. Yes, I mean, he had a lot of credits he could have been real sharp if he just had the touch of the Spirit. And I was young and I was green and I didn't know a whole lot, but I knew one thing, Jesus is good. And I believe the word works. And I'm going to believe God and I'm going to stand fast in the things of God. I'm excited about serving Jesus. Oh, praise God. You know, since we've been gone, there's two things that have dominated the news. And I want to tell you, life is not in the demonic deception of Harry Potter. Demonic to the core. And if there's books, toys, videos, go home and either burn them, get rid of them. Well, you say, bless God, I don't receive that. I'll just leave it. Well, either I'm your pastor or I'm not your pastor. Either I can tell you the truth or you want me to lie to you? I'm going to tell you the truth. I beg you, for you and your family, have nothing to do with anything that has to do with this Harry Potter mess. It's a satanic, demonic, anti-Christ, anti-Word of God invasion from hell. And it's been so well orchestrated to get your money. It's going to be the biggest moneymaker of all times, they say. And it's demonic. It's demonic. You see, everybody craves the supernatural. Why don't you get it right? Why don't you go to the Word of God? Go to God's Word. I don't need a little fake plastic wand. I don't need stupid looking glasses. I don't need the demonic. I need Jesus. I need the Word. That's where life is. He said, you're going to offend somebody. I'm sorry, that's just the way it is. I'm really not sorry. Well, Brother Nichols, don't you understand this is literature? This is educational. I don't have to practice my swimming lessons in a sewer. Everything about that is anti-Jesus Christ. It is anti the Word of God. It is anti spending eternity with the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's the way it is. The other thing that has stirred me, I mean, it's before you constantly. And that's the United Kingdom thing that happened in London. Because of the deadly deceptive teaching of death and destruction. Isn't it strange that Some of those who gave their life. I mean, if giving your life is so great, why doesn't Daddy do it? Why doesn't the cleric do it? If this is such a great experience, why doesn't Daddy partake of the first fruits? What's in a father to fasten something to the body of his own son and send him off to blow himself up and other innocent people? It's deception. Folks, the Bible said in the end time, people would be deceived. Right would seem wrong and wrong would seem right. Are you listening to Pastor Nichols? I only have an hour to try to get some things straightened out that some people spend a long time getting into. But I'm telling you, the gospel of Jesus Christ is about life. It's about forgiveness. It's about change. If you really live it, it's about loving one another as Christ has loved us. Maybe the UK is going to wake up a little bit now and find out what we had to deal with in 9/11. We're having to deal with people that really don't think 9/11 really happened. And it makes me suspicious that CNN must be financed by the Arab kingdom. Now, wait a minute. It's different in other countries than it is right here. You go into another nation, it is so anti-God, so anti-Israel. It is anti-everything that we hold near and dear. And people said, well, you know, we all liked him. Everybody liked him, but nobody knew him. Of course, there was a little demon on the inside that was nice until it manifested. What am I saying? Dear God, if you can give your life for something, give it for Jesus. The Apostle Paul joyfully was a martyr for Christ, but he got as much done as he could before he got out of here. Paul looked forward to that time when he would go. Folks, if we're not careful, the Bible said we're living in a day when, if it were possible, even the elect would be deceived. And there's a young generation that's coming up. It's scary outside of the things of God. We must have a mighty moving of the Holy Spirit of God among our young people. In America, in Australia, in United Kingdom, in Canada, to name four. We must have. It's not optional. We must have. There are things that will never change them until the power of God changes them. I'm crying out. Oh God, stir the youth of our church. You see, our leaders can't do what you won't help them do. They can't teach children you don't get there. They cannot pour their lives unless we cooperate with what is available. And you say, well, why do you say that? Because look at the diet of television. Look at the diet of movies. Look at the diet of Harry Potter. Look at the diet of everything that's coming down. Even the toys. There's a high percentage of the demonic right on through. Now, why do I say that? Why do we want to raise the bar in being sweet little parents and friends and giving our children the demonic? Why don't we raise the bar with all things are possible faith in God? Amen. Why don't we raise the bar by teaching boys and girls there's only one thing worth giving your life for, and that's Jesus. When you get married, find a Jesus person to join yourself with. If you're looking for a friend, find a Jesus young person. Don't find an ungodly person. Don't find someone whose life is messed up. Because either you will pull them up or they will pull you down. Only two ways to go. So their religion is false, demonic, anti-God, all of that. But the religion or the gospel of Jesus Christ is John 10:10. The thief has come but for to steal, kill, and destroy. But Jesus said, I've come that you might have life and have it more abundantly. Oh, there's a fire burning in my heart today. I want to see more for me. I want to see more for our church. I want to see more for our youth. I want to see more for the young married couples. You know, I thought the other day, 1993, I said, God, send revival. And God said, I'm going to give you a summer of revival. And so help me, the words that came out of my mouth in that time of prayer. But God, we're all too busy. And I really thought I was speaking inaccurate. You know, I found out when real outpouring and revival and refreshing comes, other things just move out of the way. We had a championship ball team. They were in the league. And it was a shoe-in for them to win the championship. They came to me during the revival a number of years ago and said, Pastor, I'm trying to give the dialogue for sure. We have one more game and we win, but we're in the middle of revival and a lot of us are workers in the revival and we're part of it. And we just feel like they left the championship alone and chose God and chose revival. How long has it been since you've made a judgment call for Jesus? How long has it been since you've made a financial judgment call for Jesus? How long has it been since we've done something or chosen something or deleted something or denied ourselves of something that we put God first in our lives? It's time to raise the bar. Because everything in your life and everything in my life that is worth having and worth seeing and worth experiencing, it comes through all things are possible faith. It was not just an Abraham deal. But in Peter we read, all things that pertain unto life and godliness. We read in the Corinthian letter, all things are yours. It's time for the kingdom of God to have an explosion. I look back and I still shake my head. We didn't have a choir practice. We didn't have a ladies meeting. We didn't have a youth service. We didn't have a singles. We didn't do anything except have revival. I know there's infrastructure and that would not be for the duration. But the staff we had said we're hungrier for revival than we are to have our moment of teaching or leading or doing whatever. And they were part of the team that surrounded. And we saw God do a mighty work. Hallelujah, thine the glory. Hallelujah, amen. Hallelujah, thine the glory. Revive us again. We are going to see a higher level of revival. We are going to inconvenience ourselves if needs be. We are going to do whatever we need to do. There's no shortage on sinners in our city. There's no shortage on sinners in the Metroplex. No shortage on sinners. Some churches are too busy with programs to even give altar calls. Oh God, we've tried to keep the main thing the main thing. Do you get a little glimpse of what I'm talking about, Mr. Businessman? We need your faith. I tell you, Australians are big on sports. Man, if it's a ball, they go crazy over it. Strange game, strange rules. Some of the games remind me of my grandson Robbie with a new ball and a bunch of friends just like him, everyone trying to get the same ball. It makes sense to them because they see it. But what I'm saying is, you talk about enthusiastic, you talk about, I mean, when you see stadiums, look, almost it's not as big as the Speedway out here, but I mean, you see stadiums and stands, and people are just fired up over a ball. If the air was out of it, it would be flat. And they hit each other and they knock each other around and they don't have all the padding that we have over here in the U.S. playing games. Man, they give it everything they've got. Oh, praise God, Father. I just let a fire burn that cannot be extinguished. Oh, God, let a song be sung that cannot be silenced. Oh, God, let the word flow and let nothing be able to stand against it.